From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Carol Bousquet with the news on This Day in Maine, Wednesday, August 19th, 2026.
This Day in Maine is made possible in part by Now You're Cooking. Celebrating 26 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
Members of a legislative committee voted unanimously today to launch an investigation into the abuse and murder of a 10-year-old Bangor boy 2 years ago. As Kevin Miller reports, it is the latest in a string of inquiries into child deaths.
Braxton Smith died in February 2024 after what prosecutors said was years of severe abuse, including beatings, being repeatedly zip-tied to furniture, and being denied food. Braxton was homeschooled, but Senator Jeff Timberlake, a Turner Republican who serves on the legislature's Government Oversight Committee, wants to know whether the Maine Department of Health and Human Services had any involvement with the family.
I think it's important to go back and look at this case because I think it has multiple things in it. How did this allow to happen? How did this child get beaten and nobody ever recognize it and nobody ever come in to stop it?
The committee has conducted at least a half dozen investigations into child deaths in DHHS child welfare programs in recent years. DHHS is expected to release details about Braxton after his father, Joshua Smith, is sentenced next month for his murder conviction. The boy's mother and grandmother pleaded guilty to manslaughter. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
As Democratic U.S. Senate candidate Troy Jackson assembles a campaign, he's facing withering attacks by the Republican machine working to reelect Senator Susan Collins. As Steve Missler reports, he's being vastly outspent on the airwaves.
Data from the Federal Elections Commission and Ad Impact show Collins' allies have a significant spending advantage on broadcast and digital platforms. Republican groups have already spent $30 million more than their Democratic counterparts, and those groups have a 2-to-1 advantage in fall broadcast reservations. Jackson's campaign is hoping a surge in donations will help level the playing field. It claimed $7 million in contributions since he became the nominee in late July. While that's less than the $9 million already spent by Pine Tree Results, a pro-Collins super PAC, broadcast spots purchased by candidate campaigns are significantly cheaper than for outside groups. Meanwhile, Jackson is beginning to roll out events designed to elevate his profile as Collins continues her statewide bus tour. The Democrat has also hired Hillary Barrett as his campaign manager. Barrett has held several campaign posts and most recently worked as the executive director for the Nevada Democratic Party. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
A Portland public school van driver is in federal immigration detention after the Department of Homeland Security says he tried to enter Canada without, quote, proper legal status. Simalo Paulo, originally from Angola, was arrested on August 4th after Canadian border agents turned him over to U.S. border guards in Champlain, New York, according to a DHS spokesperson. Bill Lamb, vice president of the union representing school drivers, says Paulo's detention has outraged his coworkers.
I'm saying that they're trying to get the most dangerous people off the streets doesn't seem to ring true at all.
He says immigrant workers have played an important role in meeting the district's growing transportation needs. DHS says Paulo was issued a final order of removal in July. It was not immediately clear if he had legal representation. Maine's highest court has struck down a second appeal of a state permit for a 20-acre mussel and shellfish farm off the eastern bay of Mount Desert Island. Nicole Ogrisco has more.
Acadia Aqua Farms applied nearly 7 years ago for a 48-acre permit that would allow it to grow blue mussels in the waters off Bar Harbor. In 2024, the Maine Department of Marine Resources approved a 20-year aquaculture lease for a scaled-back mussel and shellfish farm at about half the size. A group of landowners, fishermen, and others known as Friends of Eastern Bay appealed twice. They argued that the Marine Resources Commissioner lacked the authority to grant the permit and that the department underestimated the noise and other impacts to the area surrounding the proposed site. The Maine Supreme Judicial Court on Tuesday disagreed and affirmed the state's decision to grant the permit. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nicole Ogrisco.
The Maine Bureau of Highway Safety is partnering with local, county, and state law enforcement agencies to stop drivers under the influence of alcohol or drugs. The effort is part of the National Drive Sober or Get Pulled Over enforcement campaign, which runs through September 7th. Officials say there have been 9 fatalities in the last 3 campaigns in which drivers had blood alcohol content over the legal limit of 0.08. The Cumberland County Sheriff's Office is warning of an ongoing jury duty scam. Someone identifying themselves as a lieutenant for the sheriff's office is reportedly contacting people to tell them that they have missed or are being asked to report for jury duty. But the sheriff's office says it is not responsible for scheduling or selecting people to report for jury duty. Sheriffs advise that anyone who receives a call, text, or social media message about jury duty and is threatened with arrest or a fine should hang up immediately. The city of Auburn says it's started removing its Flock cameras after the contract between the company and local law enforcement expired. Flock cameras are automated license plate readers that have raised privacy concerns. A citizen's petition to ban the technology in Auburn was certified for the local ballot with over 1,600 signatures last week. Republican State Representative David Boyer led the effort.
I've been talking with city councilors and explaining Flock a little bit more to them and answering their questions. And I think there's a chance that the council might just pass this ordinance outright, and, you know, we'd appreciate that.
Some cities, including South Portland, have already taken votes to terminate their contracts with Flock. Boyer says he's planning to mount an effort to ban the cameras statewide in the next legislative session. August is peak season for Maine beaches as ocean waters warm under abundant sun. But this summer, an increase in shark sightings has prompted temporary beach closures and added surveillance along the southern Maine coast. And it's had an effect on visitor numbers. As Peter McGuire reports, researchers say they aren't sure what's behind the growing presence of white sharks so close to land.
A couple weeks ago, Scarborough Beach manager Greg Wilford was swimming his regular offshore circuit when something grabbed the yellow flotation buoy trailing in his wake and pulled him under.
And I'm probably 10 yards out farther than I should be. And I'm swimming, and then all of a sudden, I just get yanked backwards. And the first thing I thought was a prop.
But Wilfred shortly realized it wasn't a boat propeller. It was a shark. He slipped free of the tube and swam quickly towards shore.
And so when I got into shallow water, I immediately yelled, "Get out of the water," to everybody. And then I yelled to the lifeguards. They immediately hit the horn and then put up the red flag.
Wilfred's been a summer lifeguard at Scarborough Beach since 1972. It was his first ever shark interaction, and it made an impression.
Well, it changes my relationship to swimming the buoys. That's never going to happen again.
Since that day, lifeguards have patrolled the water at Scarborough Beach in a jet ski from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. and constantly fly a drone to spot sharks. On a recent afternoon, visitors could only go in waist deep. Wilfred says visitation has fallen by half since the shark incident. Some beachgoers, like Emily Stifler, say they're wary.
I'm not going in the water today. Maybe my toes, but I'm just here to sit on the beach.
But her friend Carissa Farwell is more intrigued than afraid.
I feel like this is their domain, and we are lucky to be a part of it and are lucky to be able to see them and experience them, and we shouldn't be scared of them.
Great white sharks have lived on the Maine coast forever. But until recent years, nearshore sightings were rare. And this summer, white sharks have prompted temporary beach closures from Georgetown in the mid-coast all the way down to Wells. So what changed? And are there suddenly more sharks around? State wildlife biologist Matt Davis says it's true that the white shark population is finally rebounding after a federal ban on hunting was imposed in the 1990s.
You know, with white sharks, you're looking at a species that has a really slow reproductive time. It takes female white sharks, you know, 30 to 35 years before they can even reproduce.
And Davis says that could help explain why many of the sharks recently spotted in Maine are 6 to 8 foot long juveniles rather than adults that can grow up to 16 feet. Acoustic sensors that ping off tagged white sharks around Maine indicate that many visit Saco Bay. But most tagged white sharks are adults. So Davis says scientists are trying to tag more young sharks to find out whether they're being lured by Maine's plentiful populations of striped bass, bluefish, and pogies.
You know, maybe we're realizing Maine's southern coast is important habitat to juvenile white sharks, but we really don't know for certain, and we're not going to really be able to give a direct answer until we can get some tags on these animals.
But Davis says it could just be that they're easier to spot, thanks to a long run of bright, clear, calm weather and the growing use of airborne drones.
But it could also be the case where they've kind of been using this habitat for a while, and we just haven't had people that are out there with drones seeing it.
Either way, beach managers and visitors are being more cautious. The town of Harpswell, where a swimmer was killed by a white shark in 2020, is flying shark warning flags at its swimming areas all summer long. Other beach managers are using shark protocols developed just 4 years ago and increasing surveillance efforts. Back in Scarborough, Wilfert spots a fin breaking the surface about 200 yards offshore and gets on his radio.
Yeah, there it is. 42 surfside. Did you see that?
10 foot. We just had it on the drone.
A couple seconds later, the report comes back. Just a harmless sunfish.
40 to surfside. Is that a moolah?
Sunfish.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
The jet ski, drones, binoculars, sharks, vigilance, it all seems new and unnerving, but Wilfert says it's necessary.
This is a new norm, and we're going to play it safe and keep people safe. So I guess this is it. This is it for the rest of the summer.
Shark attacks on humans are incredibly rare, but experts caution against swimming at dawn or dusk and recommend staying close to shore, in groups, and away from low-visibility water, schools of fish, or seals. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Peter McGuire.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join Irwin Gratz for Morning Edition starting at 5 a.m. I'm Carol Bousquet. Thanks for listening.